Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you, from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is based on the gospel lesson, the parable of the wicked tenants told by Jesus. But please recall this verse. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." In the fifth chapter of the book of Isaiah, the prophet sings a song about a vineyard and its owner. The vineyard is Israel, God's chosen people, whom he planted in the promised land, and the owner is God. It is a sorrowful tune, because though the owner takes great care in preparing the vineyard, it doesn't produce like it should. The song goes like this. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. If a gardener gives you some tomatoes from his garden, and they're large and juicy and ripe, you think, this fellow knows how to plant a garden. He is a good gardener. And you know this because of his produce. But if he gives you small, palish tomatoes with the bottoms beginning to rot, you know, you think the opposite. You think, maybe this guy doesn't know what he's doing. It is common today for people to be troubled by the state of the world, the state of nations, even the state of God's church. Maybe it's not all rot and decay, but there's certainly enough of it. In this world, there is famine and disaster. Among the nations, there is suspicion, greed, injustice, and corruption. Even among the church, there is infighting and division, apostasy and neglect. God planted a vineyard. He created the world and planted us in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes, rotten tomatoes. What are we to think of the vine dresser? What are we to think of God the Father Almighty, gardener of heaven and earth? Ladies and gentlemen, this question, this dilemma, is perhaps the central concern of the Christian faith. If God is so great and merciful, what answer can he give for this mess that is the world he created? Scoffers will say that this can only be a sign that God is not here after all. Or if he is here, it's a sign that he's negligent and he doesn't care. But on the other hand, there are pious, God-fearing folk who see this dilemma but dare not to judge God. He is God. His ways are not our ways. And who are you, O man, to talk back to God? You are not his judge. It is certainly true that God doesn't have to stand trial in our courtroom. He doesn't have to answer for rotten tomatoes. He doesn't have to justify himself to us. On the contrary, we are the ones in need of justification. And yet we have a loving and merciful God who does not desire to remain a mystery to us. But instead, he invites us to learn his heart as he has entrusted it to us in his word. In Isaiah's Song of the Vineyard, God actually invites his hearers to judge him. He says, "O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes?" The law says, God doesn't have to explain himself to you. And that is true. But the gospel shows that God is eager to explain himself, his mind, and his judgments to you. In the gospel, God shows you his very heart. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus shows us the heart of God. In his own parable of the vineyard, Jesus shows us what great lengths God has gone to in order to bring us to repentance and to bring about our salvation. Today's parable paints a picture of the famous words of John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus tells a parable about a vineyard and a certain man who owned it. And like Isaiah's song, the vineyard is God's people, planted in the promised land. And the owner of the vineyard is God. The owner goes to another country. This indicates God's apparent absence from the world. God is the owner of this world, but on account of our sin, he dwells in another country, heaven. Heaven is not a place like we think of places, like coordinates on a map. But it is a way. It is a foreign land. Jesus came down from heaven, and he ascended to heaven, out of our sight, from and to where the Father is, our Father, who art in heaven. But God in heaven didn't abandon us in order to let his vineyard fall into disrepair. He leased it out to tenants. These tenants are the religious leaders. Specifically in this parable, they are the leaders of Jerusalem, the chief priests and the scribes, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Throughout history, God has anointed kings and priests in Israel to attend to his vineyard. He gave them his word, his law, taught them how to tend the vineyard so that it would be well kept and healthy, bearing fruit as it should. Now, the healthy fruit of God's vineyard are the good works of his people. John the Baptist came preaching, saying, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." Jesus says of false prophets, "You will know them by their fruit." He's not talking about tomatoes. And of course, fruit does not produce itself, but it must be connected to a healthy vine. So Jesus says elsewhere to his disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit." The tenants are those whom God called to tend to the vineyard, to teach his law, and to keep his people connected to the true vine. So it is that the owner not only selected tenants to tend to his vineyard in his absence, but while he was away, he sent servants to collect some of the fruit from them. As branches connected to the true vine, the vineyard cannot help but prepare good fruit. And yet the tenants gave the servants no fruit to take to the owner. Instead, in three separate episodes, as we heard, the tenants beat one servant, shamed another, wounded yet another, sending each one away empty-handed. These servants who were sent to collect, they are the prophets who went to Israel. The prophets all preached that Israel should be bearing fruit, that they should be a holy people, living in holiness because their God, their vine, is holy. But they were not holy, and the tenants are to blame. They were supposed to prune the branches with God's word, teach and admonish his people that they would remain healthy on the vine. But the tenants didn't do their job. Instead, they taught what was right in their own eyes, and they gloried in their shame. And when they were called to account, rather than repent, they stoned the prophets and killed those whom God sent to them, because the only fruit that they had to give was rotten. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works, his fruits, should be exposed." The prophets were a light. They brought the lamp of God's word. And so the tenants beat them, sent them away empty-handed. So the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? What shall I do? I planted a vineyard. I let it out to tenants. I sent servants repeatedly and patiently, and I have received no fruit. What shall I do?" The owner says, as if to say, "You be the judge." Imagine the owner of rental property tells you he has sent three different landlords to collect from his tenants. And the owner tells you that all three of them were beaten, humiliated, and sent away with nothing. Now he asks you what you think he should do next. What advice would you give the owner? Well, you'd say to the owner, "What were you thinking? You had every right to expect the tenant to pay right away. And not only do they not pay, but they beat the landlords you sent. You should have had them arrested right away and prosecuted them to the fullest extent of the law. But more than that, you've already sent two other landlords, and they were treated the exact same way. And you ask, 'What shall I do?' Are you for real? It's a long time that you should have thrown the book at them. It's time to throw them out of your building and into jail, throw away the key." You know, a few weeks back we heard Jesus telling another parable about an owner of a vineyard who planted a fig tree. And when he came seeking fruit, he found none and said, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" "What shall I do?" the owner asks. And you know the answer. He should judge them unworthy, right then and there. Come back from his faraway country and cast them out. But the owner of this vineyard is God. He is the loving and merciful Father. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. His mind is totally foreign to our way of thinking. It's no wonder he went to live in another country. And so he does what no reasonable person on earth would do. After all the beatings of his servants, he says, "Now I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." Ladies and gentlemen, I know what you were thinking at this point. Me too. No! Don't send your son. They're just going to kill him too. And you're right. And they do. And now you see. Scoffers and God-fearers alike, now you see. Go ahead. Judge the Lord. Ask yourself whether he has done enough for our poor, pitiful, broken world. In his world, it's his world, and we have broken it. It's his vineyard, and we have neglected it. It's his fruit, and we have squandered it. What excuse can there be now for those who reject his son and so are so inconsiderate of the Father as to expect an inheritance for it? Dear friends in Christ, the Son is everything to the Father. Could you imagine sending your son off to die? Would anyone dare accuse you of not caring about your country? Our Heavenly Father, who three times sent prophets and had every right to call it quits, didn't stop there. He left nothing undone. For now we know that God loves us, seeing that he has not withheld his son, his only begotten son, from his vineyard. God has sent his son once for all as a sacrifice for our sin. What shall he do now? What shall he do now? Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, There is nothing else to be done. Christ is the Son, in whom there is redemption and peace, but apart from whom we have nothing. What will the owner of the vineyard do to the one who rejects his son? There is nothing left to do but to come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Dear friends in Christ, God still has a vineyard on earth, though it's not Jerusalem. It is his church, built on the thrice beaten bodies of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus, his son, being the cornerstone. And the apostle Peter says, "You yourselves are like living stones and are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices, to bear fruit, acceptable to God through Christ Jesus." The love of God is so complete and undeserving, we should stumble to our knees in repentance. And so we pray every Sunday that our love fails short and that God would forgive us for what we have done and for what we have left undone. But the gospel tells a different story. It tells us of what God has done for us because he left nothing undone. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.